Message this morning is very basic. It's kind of back to the basics. If you want to turn to Psalm 62, that's where the main text is. Sometimes we need to just be reminded of some of the basic truths of God's Word, of who we are in Christ Jesus, of who we are as God looks at us. Because oftentimes in this life, we are lied to. Our emotions will get the best of us, and we do not think of ourselves in the awesome way that God thinks of us. Well, who am I? And the first thought I had was, okay, am I just repurposed dirt? You know, so is a dirt clod. But we started out as dirt. The men did anyway. Am I just a group of cells? You know, sometimes that's what we're taught. Well, so is a slug. All right? How about a dog? I thought, no, I'm not near cute enough to be a dog. How about a self-aware entity a little lower than God? Whoa, how did that get in there? That got in there from the Word of God. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. It's from Psalm, chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. We need to remember who we are in God's eyes when difficulties come. What defines us? A lot of times we are definitely, and I'm speaking about myself, we're our own worst enemy. If you're into sports, is it victories? Is it your prowess at how good you are at doing something? Are you into fashion? Is it that certain look that you're working toward? Maybe you're into wealth. So, do you find yourself by your bank account? Some really, it's fame and it's popularity. Is that how you define yourself? Maybe it's just what other people think of you. And you let that take a hold of you. You think it over and over in your mind. You allow it to beat yourself up. Are you powerful? Do you want others to fear you? Is it your talent that defines you? These are all very, very human perspectives. And yet sometimes, somewhere on that list, we've chosen to allow ourselves to be defined by something up there, instead of what we just read in the scriptures. So have you ever felt like dirt? How about a slug? If you have turned to Psalm 62, let's look and see what the first two verses say. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. This is a psalm of David. First off, when we look at this, do we even live in a culture today where we can say that first line? For God alone my soul waits in silence. When are we ever in silence? probably some of the greatest silence you hear is when I pause up here and the congregation's quiet. Because at home, we have the television on, or we have the radio on, or our phone is beeping at us, telling us we have some innocuous message. But it seems like we are constantly surrounded with some kind of noise. And all too often, that's what it is. It's simply noise. But do we ever wait in silence, trying to align our soul with the source of all that is? Align our soul with He who causes everything to continue to be in existence. David understood this. He worked as a shepherd boy. There were with him no cell phones when he was out there guarding those sheep. And he had the small things that he protected the sheep with. He had a shepherd's staff for certain. And he was really good with a sling. You might recall that. A giant found that out. But he was a strong, tough warrior. He faced wolves. He faced lions. And we know that from the scripture. As a very young man, while he was protecting those sheep. But he spent a lot of time, as you go through the Psalms and you realize it, alone with God. And he would pour out his heart before God, not just in the good times, but in the bad times. And he would always come back to a realization that God alone was his rock. God alone was his salvation, his fortress. And because of that, he can make this statement, "I shall not be greatly shaken." Can I make that statement? Sometimes. Can you make that statement? Probably sometimes. But other times we need to go back to thinking about how God sees us and how much God wants that relationship with us. Do we give him the time of day that we should? Well, what fights against you? The next part of that psalm reads, "So many enemies against one man, all of them trying to kill me. To them, I'm just a broken down wall or a tottering fence. They plan to topple me from my high position. They delight in telling lies about me. They praise me to my face, but curse me in their hearts." Sounds like our culture, doesn't it? And yet, this is a psalm written by David centuries ago. Humankind and human relationships don't change much. There are, within our world, powers, people, institutions that do tend to beat us up. Maybe you do not believe the way they think you should believe, and so you become an object of ridicule or a target. But life has a way, and let's be honest, it has a way of beating one down. It can beat you up. That's why it's very important that you have people around you that can lift you up. And I say that because the body of Christ on earth today are the people that know and love Jesus Christ and serve him. So if you surround yourself with them, those people, the body of Christ, can be there when you need to be lifted up. You know, sometimes what fights against you could be even imaginary. Is it really real? We are creative people, sometimes too creative in our minds. And we will place in our minds things or build things out of proportion that really are not even there, or we have blown them up so much in our mind that we have created a fear that doesn't even exist in reality. That, again, is a time when we need to go back to the Word of God And the Psalms is a great place to look. David didn't hide any of his feelings. He poured them out before God. If I was writing the scriptures, would I have put verse 3 and 4 in there? Probably not. Because I'd want it to all look perfect and good. But David was a human being just like you and me. And guess what? He fought with depression. He fought with literally a king trying to kill him after he saved the nation because the king was jealous. I mean, he had enemies coming after him that had no right to be doing so. And he was the anointed one of God. Well, you'd think, wouldn't that give him all the protection he needed? How in the world would a king be coming after him? He's the anointed one. He's supposed to take the place of that very king. But David left that in God's hands. But it didn't mean that he didn't run around the land for a long time, hiding out and doing various things just to stay alive. Life is not always easy. But if God is your God, you always have someone to turn to, and you always have a perspective that goes beyond this planet. And it goes beyond just our very small existence. And yet that very small existence is very important to two people. That very small existence is important to the one who exists. It's important to me. But guess who else it's important to? God. He cares. This is such an amazing book written by many different authors over centuries of time, and yet it has literally one author, ties itself together with one story, one message, and that message is God loves you, God cares about you, God prepared a way to bring you back into his family, although none of us are deserving. And he gives us value because he has valued us. So much so that he gave us the Word of God to help us lead our lives if we will pay attention and to guide and direct our lives. Would God be pleased with what he would find when he looks at you and the relationship that you are building with him? Or does it leave something to be desired? I can't answer that question. The only one I can answer that question for is me. And there are definitely times I think I leave something to be desired in the relationship that I have with my God. And you know what makes it worse? I know better. But then I get back into his word and I read these wonderful things and I realize how much God does love me even when I mess everything up. God will never let you down if you come to him honestly. Give me strength to find how I can rise above this situation. And I'm not saying there will not be consequences to our actions. There will be. But God is the only one that can help strengthen you and bring you through it. And maybe it's a situation not of your own causing, it's unjust, but God is the place you can turn to have the strength to make it through. From his word, we read, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. You aren't the only one who has gone through whatever situation you're facing. Somebody else has been there before you. And God is faithful, Paul writes. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. Well, that is a verse that I stand on. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. He provides you the strength to stand up under great pressure, whatever it is, if you will trust him. Because it's not just your strength, it's the strength that God is giving you to overcome whatever you're facing. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. You can make it through. You do not have to give in to whatever you are confronting that is a temptation to you that would cause you to be in a less than pleasing light in God's eyes. Meaning, you will be able to not sin if you allow God to give you that strength. That's from the first letter he wrote to Corinthians. I want to continue this thought about what are you fighting, what's fighting against you, and go to 2 Corinthians where we read Paul's writing about himself personally. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Well, what's he talking about? It's a thorn in the flesh. We do not know exactly what it is. It's some kind of physical ailment. A lot of people believe that it was his eyesight that was failing. And he asked God, here is a man who has, in the name of God, healed other people of blindness, of deafness, of whatever. And he is asking God, would you please help me with this physical ailment? But he, God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Well, what in the world does that mean? Think about it. As Paul continued to go on and continue his ministry, regardless of the thorn in the flesh, people could see Paul. Paul healed other people, but Paul has a physical ailment that he is not being released from, yet he continues to strive for the cause of Jesus Christ. He continues to present to others the message of the gospel, regardless of how he feels, regardless of where he is. And he spent most of his last years either under house arrest or in prison. And then he did die a martyr's death. And he wrote the greatest proportion of the New Testament of any other writer. And many times, the reason we think it was his sight, as he was getting older, he couldn't see, and he had to dictate what is in our Bible to other people to write it down so it could be preserved for all of us. And he was writing to churches that he had founded on his three missionary journeys. What an unbelievable, amazing human being. And he is the one here that writes this. And then Paul, the pastor, though, writes in this same letter, jumping down to verses 20 and 21, for I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. He wants to go back and he wants to see the church at Corinth. But he's afraid at what he will find. And he said, and when I come, if I find what I don't want to find, you won't like my response. I am afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Yes, I am afraid that when I come again, God will humble me in your presence. And I will be grieved because many of you have not given up your old sins. You have not repented of your impurity, sexual immorality, and eagerness for lustful pleasure. Wow, it sounds like the national news this week, doesn't it? God is saying to us, did you not believe me the first time you read it in my word? And the reality is, we forget. That's why going through Psalm 62 this week was very important to me personally, because I needed to hear it again. It's not that hearing it once is enough, because I'm too human and I will forget. And I do get beat up by life. I need to be reminded that God is on my side, and that God does in fact love me, and that God did in fact provide a way out. And will I be confident in that? Will I believe this and give this priority over everything else that the world is shouting at me? That's what it boils down to. Who are we going to believe? Will we believe God and His holy word? Or will we choose to accept and be beaten up by a world that the word of God says hates us? I want to go with the one that loves me and sent His own son. He loved me enough that He sent His own son to die for me. That proves His love. There is only one solution. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. My victory and honor. Do you want to be honored? Your character, your honor comes only from God. We are sinful beings. We will mess up. We will make mistakes. But in Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit, we can be given the victory, and yes, we can even be given honor. But it is given to us from God and God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. I like that. You must put up mental barriers created by the Word of God to keep the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. Because otherwise, you can be overwhelmed by what the world is screaming at you. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. God alone is our hope. He alone is our salvation through Christ. He is our strength. Everything else is shifting sand. Where else would a wise person place his trust? When given the alternatives, where else would you want to go? The fountain of truth or a world of lies? We are simply people. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. And the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. You'd think David lived in our time. But he's writing to us and he's saying, look, don't get caught up in the ways of the world. That's basically what he's saying. Don't get caught up in these stupid power games. Don't get caught up in seeing your worth in how the world values you, or how powerful you are, or how good looking you are. And if you are fortunate enough to be blessed with wealth, well, be grateful. Use it to good ends. Don't make it the center of your life. Make it a tool that you use to glorify God. Before the Almighty, people are just people. It doesn't matter where you're at on a human scale. You're just dust. God took the dirt and He made it into a man. And then He took that man's rib. And he made a beautiful woman, much more refined. We have value because God values us. He proved he values us by providing his great, amazing salvation. The redemption price, though, for that salvation was very, very high. Never forget that. Because the price was a perfect human being. There wasn't one. So God sent his son to live as a perfect human being and then to die. Because a perfect human being had to be sacrificed to pay the redemption price for humanity. And that, of course, is Jesus the Christ. Well, praise God. Being pleasing to God is what matters. The end of Psalm 62 says, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. That's it. That's the only real source of any power. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. That's it. That's the only place you will find unfailing love. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. Well, how does salvation fit into that? The way you become a Christian, the way you become a follower of Jesus Christ, is to accept the fact that you do indeed need a Savior. That you are a sinner, and no sinner will be accepted into God's family. Well, how did we all get there then? We accepted the provision that God provided in his Son. We accepted Jesus' sacrifice as the redemptive price that indeed will save us. And we appropriated that great salvation gift that God gives us. None of us are worthy of it. We're just reprocessed dirt. And we're sinful beyond that. But God prepared his Son to take on all the sin of humanity so that those who accept that provision can stand in God's presence and not be destroyed. And in fact, we can stand and have an amazing eternal life. Now, that's something to get excited about. That is something to be thankful for. So what does David mean when he says, surely you repay all people according to what they have done? Beyond your acceptance of that free gift of God to provide you salvation, then what you've done actually does matter. And you may have a greater reward when you get to heaven than I will. And that's okay. But I really want you on that side of the equation. Because the other side, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, your actions actually will have some value then too. But they will determine the amount of torment that you face in hell. It's not preached a lot about, but it's according to the Word of God. But what you do, you cannot be good enough. Let me make sure that you understand that. You can't be good enough to get to heaven, but you can accept the free gift that God provided at such a high price, and that was the redemptive price necessary, was the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood for your salvation. Accept that, and then God has prepared many good things for you to do, and he'll reward you for those in heaven. But never forget, you are valued because God values you. I just wanted to get back to the real basics. As you go into this Thanksgiving season, be thankful for who you are in God's eyes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for who you are. that you valued us enough to send your son Jesus to pay a huge price for our redemption. But Lord, once we receive it, we are yours. And you want us to act like it and to respond as children of the Most High God, following your word, which was given to us to instruct us on how to live our lives. And yet we spend time in everything else except, it seems, that which is most important. God, help us to align our priorities properly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.